Welcome, and we're in our Serve Timber series where we're going to go Jesus our world. Last week, we kicked things off with kind of a little biblical overview of why you should serve and how you can serve like Jesus. And so for the next few weeks, what's left of September, we're going to talk about ways, various things that you bring to the table that help you serve like Jesus. We're going to look at your talents and abilities, natural ones like Kaylee's. We're going to look at offering your time and treasure. We're going to look at giving your dreams and interests to God and how that can help you serve. But today, I thought we would start with something that we don't really talk about a lot, spiritual gifts. And I think the reason we don't talk about spiritual gifts a lot is because talking about the Spirit kind of weirds us out. It's sort of mysterious, and we don't really know how to approach it. You know, Jesus was God, but he was a person, and so we kind of understand that. This Spirit thing kind of weirds us out a little bit, but I'm going to tell you, church, when we do not focus on the Spirit, we neglect our power source. We remove ourselves from the power that God wants to give a local church to be the most effective, fruit-bearing church they can be. And so today we're going to unpack that. I'm hoping over the next few weeks you're going to discover what your spiritual gifts are, because everybody has at least one. I hope that you're going to develop those spiritual gifts, begin to start testing them and putting them into action. And then I want to hear ways and how God is using those gifts in partnership with our entire body of Christ to make us the most effective, fruit-bearing church we can be. And so to get started, we're going to start with something a little familiar to you, Jesus. At the end of his three-year ministry, he is the one that prepared the disciples that they were going to get these spiritual gifts. They were probably kind of weirded out by this whole idea of him leaving and leaving this comforter with them. And so he started preparing them weeks before this happened. In John 14, 12, 18, he tells us, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father," so he's going away, "and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." That's pretty powerful. So Jesus makes a promise to his disciples over and over again, and we can take that promise as our own, that Jesus will never fail us, will never forget us, will never forsake us. And he is sending a helper, a companion, a comforter in his stead. That comforter is the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, again, is preparing his disciples for this day when the Spirit is going to fall and the gifts are going to be delivered. And see, in Acts 1, 4 through 8, he tells us there was this one occasion they were eating. They're like good Methodists. They like to eat. And while they were eating, he gave them this command. He tells them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And along with this baptism comes the gifts of the Spirit. And so we fast forward to Acts 2, 1-12. This is probably a familiar passage to you if you've spent a lot of time around churches, because especially if you grew up Pentecostal, because this is where the Spirit falls on the day of Pentecost. And so when the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in the upper room, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I want to put a little caveat there. I think this is where, and this is no offense, I'm not bashing on any particular denomination. We all are separated in small ways, but we're bound by the blood of Jesus Christ. But I think this passage is where some get the idea that everyone has to have the gift of tongues. Like that is the manifestation of the Spirit. So if you don't have the gift of tongues, then you're not really Spirit-filled. Okay, I don't believe this at all. And as Methodists, we don't believe that. We believe that some have been given the Spirit of speaking in tongues, and some of us have been given a lot of other gifts. And to me, it's like, if you've got someone that can speak in tongues, I hope you have an interpreter there, because otherwise it's just googly gosh going up to God, which is fine because you're interceding and praying. But Paul tells a body early in the New Testament, if you don't have an interpreter around, you need to pray quietly to yourself because you're just confusing everybody. Okay, so that is just one of many gifts. And so then it goes on to say that they began speaking in tongues, and everybody from every nation heard them, and they could hear them speaking in their own language, people from all over the world. And they said, they were all amazed and wondered, what does this all mean? How are we all speaking? How are they speaking in my tongue? How can I hear them? They're just Jewish people. So this was like a huge manifestation of what God was about to start doing. He had to, like, if you're going to have a kickoff party, you're going to really want to do it up. And so this was the birth of the church, and he chose to birth the church through giving them the gift of the Holy Spirit and then giving them these individual gifts to order and make the Spirit grow through the church. And so this marks the moment in ministry where we shift from it being Jesus-centric. Jesus' earthly ministry had led up until this point. And now Jesus has ascended into heaven, given us the power of the Holy Spirit, and we become the body and blood of Christ out in the world. So he has transferred the authority and responsibility to us. We are now his agents in the world. He is working through us to redeem the world. That comes with great responsibility. And one of those responsibilities, church, is figuring out what your spiritual gift is. So we, like the early church, are commanded to figure out what is our spiritual gift. The problem is most people do not know what their spiritual gift is. And so when you go to plug into a church, you're often in a role that feels a little weird and you can't quite figure out why. But if you knew what your giftedness was, then you can leverage that. And then if you're in a healthy church, all spiritual gifts are working together. Every part is represented. So this is not just MJ talking. The New Testament talks a lot about spiritual giftedness, and you can read about it. I'm not going to read all of this, but there are kind of four foundational passages that we go to glean the most insight about spiritual giftedness. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 30 is the sort of first place that it shows up. Paul is explaining what some of the gifts are and how you get the gifts. And just to summarize that passage, he tells us, each and everybody gets a gift, okay? So don't say, I don't have a gift. Everybody has a gift. And they're given for the common good. They're not given to be used in isolation. They're given for the body of Christ to manifest in the world. And some of the gifts that he mentions in this first passage are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different tongues, interpretation of those tongues, apostleship, teaching, helping, and administration. Okay, so he's kind of covered almost all the bases in this first scripture. And then if you flip on over to Romans 12, 1 through 8, many people think this is Paul writing again. I really like this scripture. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Serving God is how we worship God. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with faith God had distributed to each of you. Here's the good stuff. For just as each of you has one body, but many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And so we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And then he goes on to list some more of those gifts. In that passage, he lists prophecy, serving or helping, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, and mercy. But the bottom line there is he's saying again, we are one body. And when you are detached from the body and not offering your gifts, it's like there's a leg broke. I mean, Marty's been in a wheelchair and we don't have our t-shirts today. I mean, you see, that's the way this works. Everybody is important and has a role to play. And then in Ephesians, we hear to live a life worthy of the calling and to have lots of faith. And then basically the gist of this passage is each one of us has been given things to equip us for works of service. And the reason we do it is to build up the body of Christ, to send it out in mission to the world. And some that are named there, apostleship, prophecy, evangelism, pastor, teacher. And I think that's it for that passage. And finally, the last passage that really talks about spiritual gifts is 1 Peter. And we are told that they are for each of us. And we are to use them to serve God and glorify him. And so I'm hoping you're seeing a pattern without me having to read through all of those scriptures. Go home, read them for yourself, do a study. But the bottom line is that everybody has been given a gift, okay? No one has missed the gift train. Everybody has a gift. And God wants to use these gifts in conjunction with the body of Christ that you are fellowshipping with to do great things. So when your spiritual gifts are connected to other people's spiritual gifts, it makes the literal body of Christ so that we can go Jesus our world. And so when we are missing some of these gifts, we're not as effective or as functional as we would be. Our body is literally missing parts. So spiritual gifts, as I've said already, are not intended to be utilized in isolation. They're to be put together. They are vital to the edification of the church. But I want to say they are different than natural talents. Natural talents and gifts are awesome. Like, I'm so proud of Kaylee. She is shining her light in the world. She is using a natural gift and talent that God has given her, and it's edifying lots of people. This is different than spiritual gifts. The main distinction in between a natural gift and a spiritual gift is a spiritual gift is given under the direction and power and authority of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit manifesting through you this supernatural, literal gift that you've been given. And so we're going to talk about natural gifts and how you can leverage those for the kingdom later. I don't want you to neglect your natural gifts because those are amazing and awesome too. But today we're just going to focus in on these 17 spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. I think 16. And the reason in my notes I have 17, some people marry a couple of the gifts together and then leave theirs out of the list, like pastor and teachers married sometimes. And then in this list, I don't even think it shows up as pastor. It's more administration. Anyway, we're going to go over some of these, and I want you to start listening and for yourself and for your spouse or for your child or for your parents or for your friends. You're going to be able to recognize these gifts in other people. You just know these gifts, right? Sometimes it takes a little bit of prying to get your gift out because you maybe you're hesitant about it, especially if you have some of the odder gifts. But you'll begin to hear yourself in these gifts. The first one is administration. The gift of administration is the ability to just do that. Organize, accomplish goals, strategize. People with this gift like to develop strategies and plans, and they like to organize people and events, and they're very thorough and objective and responsible and resourceful. And we have, I was thinking about this, it's so amazing. Our three administrative chairs, Laura Bowie and Doug Bates and who was our third? James Freeman. All three manifest these administrative spiritual gifts. And so somewhere when we were nominating people, we got that right. Or maybe God just got that right. And then the next gift is discernment. This is kind of, you're able to distinguish something's kind of false or fake. This is when you walk into a room and someone is saying something and you're just like, I hear what you're throwing down, but I'm not really picking it up. It's just a kind of intuitive feeling that something is amiss or off. People like this are very perceptive, intuitive, insightful. You'll hear them say, I just had this gut instinct about that person. And so these people can be on planning teams. They're great. They're really great to me as like a counselor or an advisor. I like having these people close in my circle. Somebody that I know for sure has the gift of discernment, and it's awesome because she's leading our board, Robin Boswell. She has the gift of discernment for sure. Then the next one is encouragement. This is a fun gift. You'll know encouragers when you meet them because you are just so happy in their presence. No matter if you're having a bad day or you've really screwed up, they are going to supernaturally encourage you to take that next best step. Someone that I think of that has that gift is Tara Knowles. Anytime I'm around Tara, she is this encouraging voice for positive. People like this urge others into action because they comfort you where you're at and move you forward into the place God is trying to be. They're very positive, motivating, affirming people, and they're just gifts. The next one is evangelism. This is a hard gift. Most people don't want this gift, but this is, when effectively done, this is you can communicate the gospel to non-believers or people on the, you know, the fence or the fringe of the church and draw them in closer. They're usually very candid, influential, confident, sincere, and they can communicate the gospel of Christ clearly in a way that's non-judgmental. And the person that I think of that is doing an amazing job at this, especially on social media, is our own Angel Myers. She is an evangelist for the Lord, bringing people in to Christ. Then the next gift, I hope you're kind of hearing, thinking, you know, maybe making notes like, oh, I think I have that gift, or I think my spouse has this gift. Faith. This is a great one. Just believing unwaveringly. Like this is, I mean, everybody has faith in Christ. I understand that. But this is a supernatural gifting of an extra measure of faith. That even in the blackest night, even in the darkest day, you have faith that God is going to make this right. And I mean, it's back to back, but the girl that's walking by faith is Angel Myers. So I think she's got those back to back gifts for sure. Giving. Did you know that giving was a spiritual gift? I mean, some people just give because they think it's the right thing to do. But when you have the giftedness from the spirit of giving, it just overflows in you, this cheerfulness and generosity. You see a need and you meet it. And you find joy in that spirit of giving. People that have this are very resourceful. They're good at stewardship planning. And they're disciplined. We want them in our inner circle. And when I think about people like this, I think about Scott Lemon and I think about Chris Duke. These are two people, if you know them, you know they've got that heart of giving. Not just giving because we're supposed to, but out of a spirit of giving. The next one is helps. It's called helps or serving sometimes. And these are the behind the scenes people that free up for the people that are having to do upfront ministry to really shine and do their part. But without the helper people, the upfront people would be toast. These are reliable, loyal, dependable, helpful. They're whatever it takes. This is not someone that just will help because, you know, they feel like they should, but they actually find joy in being the helper person. And I think a beautiful example of a help servant person is Will Olson. Today he's working the screens, but we see him helping behind the scenes all around this place. Hospitality. This is a fun one. Care of people. There's usually food involved. I think we do well at Live and 11 with hospitality. We have someone that obviously has the gift leading the charge, Meryl Nall. Bethany Dill is another example of someone that has that spirit of hospitality. And Kelly Rhodes. People that not only will they feed you, but you are fed by that spirit of welcome. They welcome you into their space. These are people that try to connect in meaningful ways with other people, especially those that feel insecure in their surroundings. They will make you feel okay in a room full of people that you don't know. Intercession. Man, we have some great intercession warriors here. These are people's, their gift, their love, they are spirit-led to pray on the behalf of other people. They are intercessing daily, moment by moment, for our preachers and people in our community, our world. They're an advocate. They are trustworthy. They're a burden bearer. And we have got an amazing one here in our Live at 11 family, Brenda, and downtown Miss Joan. These are two of our intercession warriors. If you have a need, you take it to them and they will take it to Jesus with you. Knowledge. Knowledge is not street smart knowledge. This is biblical knowledge. This is a gift that you just really understand the Bible. Some people, when you read the Bible, I know if you don't have the gift of knowledge, it might be a little bit hard to comprehend or you're feeling kind of on the outs. But these are people that are very inquisitive, observant in the Bible, and they can kind of bring out the truth of a biblical passage and share it with you in a way that makes it more clear. And we have someone that leads our youth that does this very well, Scott Leslie. I believe that he has the gift of knowledge. He can pull things out of a passage that we might not have seen and share it with us in a way that we get it too. Leadership. This is the God-given ability to cast a vision, motivate, direct people harmoniously to accomplish God's purposes. These people are usually visionary, persuasive, motivating, and goal setters. This is actually one of my spiritual gifts that I have shied away from until very recently. I like in my natural self to be more of a helper, server, behind the scenes-er. But lately, God has been calling me into more leadership roles where I'm having to lean into my spiritual gift of leadership instead of my natural. Because in my natural self, I am fearful. I mean, you wouldn't believe it, but I'm shy. I kind of feel weird in social settings. I kind of feel awkward. And so to be up here is testimony that God really is working through me, because this is not my mode of operation. For the last 20 or so years, I would have been much more happy running the screens or creating the altar space or doing something where no one had to be looking at me, that I could just help that person out in front. So if you're feeling weird about a gift that you think God has given you, lean into it and he can use that too. Another gift, we're getting there, mercy. I love this gift. This is empathy, the God-given ability to just really walk with somebody. Last week, we talked a lot about Jesus and his empathy, that gut-bent-over reaction. You can walk with somebody, and it's caring, responsive, kind, compassionate. And last week, we interviewed someone who is a perfect example of mercy, Miss Kaylin. She is someone that just pours into people and can walk with them through dark days. Prophecy. Ooh, this one's hard. This is usually, you know, a prophet is not welcome in their own town because they bring hard truth. Truth that you don't want to hear. Sometimes it's a correction or a call for repentance, or sometimes it's an edification of the body. But usually a prophet comes with kind of a negative word. Or it's not really negative. We just perceive it negative because of the way the admonishment is. They're discerners. They compel us. They are uncompromising. They are authoritative and confronting. They make great spiritual advisors and members of councils and boards. And I know we have two of these people in our midst for sure. Jill Taylor and Gwenda Wells have the spirit of prophecy. And so watch out if they've got something to say in a meeting, because you're going to hear it in a good way. Shepherding. This is a good one. Shepherding is just someone that is really invested in long-term spiritual welfare of small groups. That's the key there. You're shepherding or leading that small group. So it's someone that kind of walks with that small group through a lot of seasons, leading them. Think like really strong Bible study teachers. I have several, too many to name. Al and Linda Loper, Donna and Milton Seymour, Joanne and John Bush, and others really guide that amazing halfway home class that meets back here, shepherding them along, helping them grow deeper, helping them become more Christ-like. They're nurturers, guiders, they're influential, they make great small group leaders, Sunday school teachers, and that kind of stuff. And then if you have a small group, you need a teacher, clearly, which is different than a shepherd. A teacher is just someone with the spiritual gift to explain things clearly and apply God's word so that everyone in the room, or most everyone in the room, understands it. This is not a natural desire, like some people have, the natural giftedness to teaching, and that's a beautiful thing. But this comes from, the power is from the Spirit, and we have a lot of these in our midst, but when I was thinking about the sermon, Sonny Buckaloo and Chris Duke come to mind as people that possess that spiritual teaching gift. Wisdom. Wisdom is the God-given ability to really speak truth into a specific situation. It's kind of a cousin to prophecy, but a little bit different. It focuses on the unseen consequences of taking the next step, but always makes it to where God is going to help you get through it. It provides God solutions to big problems and smalls. It applies spiritual truths in very practical ways to anything that you're going through. These people are sensible, insightful, practical, wise. They're fair and experienced, and we have several of these in our midst. Brenda Freeman again and Gwenda Wells, I think of as people that have that spiritual gift of wisdom. And so my hope was just to maybe for the first time get you interested in figuring out what your spiritual gift is. Later today, we're going to post on our Facebook page, the 1111 page, a link to go and take a very quick little spiritual gift inventory. When you complete it, it will tell you your top gifts, and it'll give you some information about them, like some background, how you could best use those. Now, I'll just have to say, none of this is foolproof. Like, I've taken 1,000 spiritual gift tests, and usually like one or two are different or backwards or something. That's why it's so important to start testing your gifts. And if it doesn't resonate with you, maybe that's not your gift. Maybe you did what some people do when they take tests. You answer like you wish you were instead of what you really are, right? So to get the best results, you want to answer with honesty. Like, do you enjoy reading the Bible? Yes, all the time. And you're like, I hate the Bible. Don't do that. Just put no. Just be honest, and then you'll get honest results. And there's no better gift than the other. They're all amazing and work together. So whatever gift you end up with is great. Just knowing what that gift is the best part. And so my hope is that as you begin to figure out your gifts, you'll start sharing that with other people and maybe asking them, like, these are my four or five top gifts. Which of these do you think I am? And get, you know, trusted people, some advisors, and then we'll start using and leveraging our spiritual gifts more in this church. We leverage our natural gifts a lot, and some people's natural gifts coincide with their spiritual gifts. But it is my hope over this next year, we begin to really leverage our spiritual gifts, building them up into the body of Christ to be even more fruit-bearing and more effective than we ever have been. Amen. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this body of Christ that gathers here. Would you empower us with the knowledge of what spiritual gifts you have given us? You have given us all spiritual gifts for the edification of your body and to transform this world. Help us to know what those gifts are and to leverage them for your kingdom so that we too can go Jesus your world. And we'll give you all the glory for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.